This is WordPress Weekly, your source for the latest news, plugins, and interviews with influential leaders in the WordPress community. Here's your hosts, Jeff Chandler and Marcus Couch.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 227 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, March 23rd, 2016. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by Marcus Couch. And I've got a little bit of pep in my step this week because winter is officially over with.
That's right. It's the first podcast of the spring season.
That's right. And
it's not like fresh Egyptian cotton, fresh on the line, blowing in the wind.
I smell like Cadbury egg chocolate. You know, because, I think it's this Sunday. American Easter comes very soon this year in March as opposed to April.
As opposed to when we have to wait till, the end of the year practically.
So that means, what is it? Oh, next Friday. Oh, boy, April 1st lands on a Friday. I wonder what we're going to see this year. I was thinking about it the other day. I have kind of a trick up my sleeve for the tavern.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to tell anybody what it is. You'll just have to visit the site that day and see what happens.
All right. Looking forward to it.
Awesome. So how's your week going?
Pretty busy. I've had some problems with caching and hosts and images and all that kind of fun stuff, and one of which I've solved, and I've got a nice plugin pick of the week that helped me completely in a situation that I think we're all familiar with, so stay tuned for that.
Excellent. So we have a guest on tonight. We haven't had a guest on for a little while, and I'm really looking forward to diving deep into this man's career so far in the WordPress community, and we're going to talk about one of the sites he helped found and create and that he maintains on a daily basis, which I consider one of the gems of the WordPress community, and that is HeroPress. I've mentioned this site on the show before, and we've talked about it many times, but we're going to have one of the main people responsible for that site's existence. And in fact, his name is Topher DeRosa, who is he's a Christian, he's a husband, father, WordPress developer. He currently works for Pippin Williamson over at Easy Digital Downloads as their documentation manager. And he does that for a living, while on the side, he builds and maintains HeroPress. And Mr. Topher, thank you. Thanks a lot for spending some time this evening on the show. And why I got you here, I got to see your Twitter name, Topher1 Kenobi. That's a pretty cool name.
Thanks. Some coworkers started calling me that many years ago, and when it came time to start picking a unique name on the internet, it seemed like something that would serve well.
Well, I think it suits you. Quite well. I mean, you know what? You should get yourself like a robe or something to go with it, unless you already have one.
Yeah, but my wife won't let me wear it out in public.
He only brings it to WordCamp.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. So glad to have you on the show. Let's So this is your first time here.
Yep.
Pretty cool to have you. Welcome to the show. And if we get you on a couple more times, you'll be an honorary friend of the show.
All right.
Which I imagine is going to happen at some point. But let's start with the beginning. Let's start with how did you get involved with WordPress? What were you doing prior to WordPress? How did you discover it? And tell us a little bit of your background.
Well, it's kind of a long story.
We got an hour. Go ahead.
We got an hour.
Oh, jeez.
So in the late 1990s, my friends all started blogging, and I looked at setting up some blog software, and there was compiling htaccess modules for Apache and Perl and blah, 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 and I said, blogging's not for me. And then I learned PHP myself, and in the early 2000s, I thought I would give it another shot, and WordPress was brand new, and I looked at it, and I thought, hey, I could do that. And so so I did. I made my own blogging platform. I was teaching a class on PHP and MySQL at the time, and I required a project for all my students. And I said, well, if they got a project, I'll have a project. So I made my own blogging software, and I used it for, 10 or 12 years, long after I was a WordPress developer. And I never did much blogging. I never built blogs or anything, so I didn't do much with WordPress in the mid-2000s. But in 2010, I went freelance just because I could. And I did a project on WordPress, and it was 2.9. And I could see the wonder of not having to build my own admin areas anymore. So I thought maybe there's something to this WordPress thing. And then 3.0 came out with custom post types, and I was completely hooked.
We know that WordPress has hooks. Yes. So even though you discovered WordPress and you developed your own sort of blogging platform, your blogging system, you've been using that for 10 or 11 years, despite all these other solutions being available?
Using my own?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it worked great, and I was lazy.
You have a name for this platform?
I called it Phlog, Phlog, and I still have the code. It's not awesome. It worked. It's probably wildly insecure.
Hmm. And so what prompted you to use it for longer than a decade now, even though WordPress is around?
Total lazy. It worked. It got the job done, and I didn't have to mess with it. And I didn't make any code changes after the first 6 months. I just ran it for a decade.
So outside of creating your own admin areas and, of course, WordPress 3.0 with the custom post types, is there anything else that you sort of immediately discovered upon WordPress that just was like, it's like the clouds parted and you saw the light? Compared to what you had in your own software.
Yeah. It was a bunch of stuff. Like, when I first built my own, I put in a WYSIWYG editor, and then I ripped it out because I didn't like it. But it was TinyMCE, but it was TinyMCE from 2003, which was not as awesome as it is now. And so the one built into WordPress is way cooler. I love the built-in galleries, the plugin. Not just the fact that the plugins are out there, because I'm a developer. When I see a problem, I tend to think, how can I build this myself before I go looking for a plugin? And WordPress makes it really easy to do that. It makes it really easy to extend what you already have. And as a developer, a contractor, that was really appealing to me. When a customer comes to me and says, hey, you know, I want such and such on my website, and I can't find a plugin for it. Well, I just build it. And it was a lot easier than having to bootstrap everything, you know?
Yeah, it's got to be really nice to use software that has tons of filters, tons of hooks already there for you. You know, you just got to look it up, and hopefully it's documented in a way that you can discover it, and then you could use it. And WordPress does have a great plugin architecture built into it.
And I really loved how many built-in functions there are for doing things, like just getting a title and printing it.
So you don't have to reinvent the wheel.
Yeah, I'm not doing a new database call when I want such and such and all this kind of stuff. It's just, I have a loop on every page. It's just there. I just ask for the data, and it's magically there. And it's really nice.
So is that blogging software still around? I mean, I know you said you have the code, but did you release it under open source? Do you know if anybody else is using it, public sites?
I doubt anybody's using it. I never actually released it. I gave it to a few people who wanted it, but that was in probably 2004, and I'm sure they're not using it.
Are there any plugins for this thing? Have you made any plugins?
No, there's no plugin architecture.
Oh.
The only thing it did that I haven't figured out how to do yet in WordPress is you can have alternate style sheets for your website. You can still do this today if you write in the HTML. And you can either use your browser to switch style sheets, or there's a little JavaScript switch you can use, and you can just switch designs on your webpage through, you know, whichever designs are available in your HTML. And mine had, I don't know, four or five, I guess you'd call them themes. I don't know if I'd call them themes in my system.
Skins? But,
skins, yeah. 4 or 5 skins. And you just choose from a drop list. And basically every time I made a new skin, I made it available. So there was a Pink October one for breast cancer. There was several Christmas ones. It was a 4th of July one. And it didn't dramatically change the layout of the page. It changed colors and...
Just gave it sort of a new personality.
Yeah. And I'd like to figure out how to do that with WordPress.
So one of the coolest things that has arrived in the WordPress community, no thanks to you and some other people we'll learn about here in a little bit, is this site called HeroPress. And it's every Wednesday we get to see a wonderful essay published by someone across the world on how WordPress has impacted their life and for some people how it's really changed their view and changed their ways and has given some people a career and has allowed people with little to no voice a chance to really express themselves and have a wide and far-reaching voice. So I want to dive deep into HeroPress and first of all get your take on when and how did you come up with the idea? What motivated you to create HeroPress?
Oh, that's a good story, too. was a few days before American Thanksgiving in 2014. So we're in 16 now, right?
Yes.
I lose track of the years sometimes. I'm old. Just before American Thanksgiving, 2014, I was working for XWP. And Dave Rosen, who is the founder of XWP, but wasn't actually running it or anything, sent me an email and said, I want to pull you out of XWP, and...
I hear some sort of pounding. Sorry to interrupt you.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. Sorry
just
about
tapping
that.
Yeah. Something.
Okay.
So he sends me this email, and he says, I want to pull you out of XWP, and I want you to do something amazing for WordPress. And that was it. So I sent him an email. I said, what kind of something? And he said, that's your journey to discover. So I had an open book. I could do anything I wanted. Something amazing. And we brainstormed all kinds of stuff. We talked about having a school to teach people WordPress. We talked about 100 ideas. We had a new idea every day. And eventually we decided on a thing where we were going to interview people. But you know, let me back up just a little bit, because this is a significant part. He had found a WordPress development agency online and bought their time and said, these guys are yours. If you need something built, run it through them. And they were in India, Kolkata. And one of their guys there I got to know really well. And we talked all the time, you know, just chit-chat, whatever. And one day he really opened up to me and he said that he was really frustrated. It was kind of his job in the company to get contracts. And he was really frustrated with the difficulty of getting respect as an Indian development company. There's a strong stereotype that India is cheap labor. And, you know, they'll build you a website in a day for a dollar. And that doesn't work as an agency. It just doesn't. Not any agency, not anywhere. And he asked me for advice. Basically business advice. And I'm a white American guy who's not really into any business. And I felt wildly inadequate to answer his question. But I thought, hey, you know what? Maybe there are some other Indians who are already doing this and have solved this problem and can answer that question. So I asked around, and a few people told me, hey, WordCamp Mumbai is coming up, and the organizers there have pretty much solved this problem. They know what they're doing. And so I got a hold of some of them, and we had some good discussions, and they said, yeah, we've got that figured out. So then I thought, well, why can't I do this for other problems? Why can't I get Russians to talk to Russians? Why can't I get Egyptians to talk to Egyptians? And it didn't even have to be national. It could be, you know, anything. Women talking to women and parents talking to parents. Who knows? All that stuff. And so we had the idea to do something like TED TV, TED.com, where we would have interviews, video interviews with people, and they would be answering predetermined questions, answering, you know, the problems of people like them. And this was going to be a business venture. I was going to be the CEO. It was going to be awesome. So we did a Kickstarter, and we launched it at Pressnomics 2015. And I went there, and I shook hands with everyone. And we were looking for $60,000 Australian dollars because Dave's in Australia. And
yeah, and I got to tell you, when the news broke of that type of campaign and that amount of money, I'm like, what? Come on, are you serious? What's going on here? What do they need this amount of money for?
Yeah, well, we were gonna pay professional videographers to go to where these people were, and then we were going to pay the speakers, and you know, we didn't want this to be a cheap thing. We wanted it to be really good, really nice, professional. And what we really wanted was the ideal would have been $60,001 donations. We wanted a groundswell of support. We wanted the Kickstarter to validate the project, basically. And what we ended up getting was four or five larger organizations gave $4,000 or $5,000, and that was it. And so our Kickstarter ended with like $23,000, which is a lot of money, but not anywhere near what we wanted. And we didn't get it from the people we were looking for. And there were a lot of issues, a lot of problems that I didn't foresee. I didn't understand.
I know. I remember distinctly that one of the issues some people had was putting people up on a pedestal and calling them heroes. Some people didn't like that. Issues around that, and maybe some of the communication, or I know some people maybe a more detailed response or breakdown of the funds and what was going to take place with this HeroPress site. I think those are just most of the main issues that people have with the Kickstarter campaign.
Yeah, and I learned an enormous amount personally about how to deal with negative feedback during that time.
Because here you are, you had this great idea that you think could, you know, the vision in your head tells you that if we could just get the money, this could be awesome. This is something the WordPress community everywhere could benefit from. And you start this campaign, and the next thing you know, you're getting criticized up one wall and the other because of, you know, heroes and this and that. And, yeah, I mean, that could really tear some walls down for some people if you can't deal with that sort of criticism up front the right way.
Yeah, it was an exciting time. I was actually pleased by how many people came to our defense on their own. I didn't ask anybody to say anything, but a lot of people said, hey, wait a minute. I know this person. I know this project. This is cool. Back off. And it was flattering. But at the same time, I started engaging people myself, and every single naysayer that I talked to, I thanked. I said, thank you for taking the time to tell me your concerns, because they matter. They're important. I had never done this before. Maybe they're right. Maybe this thing was a mess. I didn't know. And so I asked questions one after another, every single person, everybody who said, this is stupid, you're obviously a jerk. I said, thank you for telling me that. Why do you think that? Tell me, what would you do different? How would you handle this? And it was valuable information. It was great. I got a lot of great advice from people who thought it was a horrible idea. And many people came to me later and said, you know what? I thought this was a horrible idea, and I thought you were a jerk, but I don't think that anymore because of your attitude, because of the way you handled this, because of the way you responded to negative criticism. And that was a huge revelation to me, how people can change that way, to change their opinion from negative to positive based on the reaction to their negativity.
You know, and that's really, I think, that's sort of a, what should I say, sort of a reflection point or moment during this show, this podcast, that depending on how you react to criticism, you know, I think just by human nature, our first response is to fight back, put up our defenses, put up a wall, and put the blame on someone else. And but really, I think, you know, we just need to take a deep breath, consider what is being told to you, and have an open mind to it, and sort of converse with that person to see if you can figure out why they're saying the things that they are from their perspective versus, you know, when you start picking fights with people, it usually never ends well.
Nope. Yeah, just today I was watching some conversations on Twitter and was thinking that compassion goes a long way.
Yes, it does.
When somebody's mad at you and telling you you're a jerk and a loser, there's probably a reason. They're probably unhappy. They're sad.
I've in my career in the WordPress community, and I've always wondered this, but nobody has come up to me and called me an asshole. I haven't really seen any.
Yes, I have.
well, yeah, that just goes in one ear and out the other. But
this week.
But you know, if somebody, you know, I've always wondered, like, some of these WordCamps I attend, if some people have seen me or they hear me talk, or maybe my demeanor, if they think I'm just a jerk. But I've never heard anyone say it. But I would. My first question would be is, well, why do you think that? I would love to know what I'm doing or my, you know, how I come across to you that would make you think that way.
Yeah, and you gotta, that's a great question. But even with that, you gotta be careful because it can so easily come across as defensive. Why would you think that? You know, as opposed to,
right.
Hey, thanks for telling me. You start with the thanks, and it goes so much better. You say, thanks for telling me that. I appreciate you taking the time out of your life to tell me that you're unhappy with something that I've done or said.
So you don't reach the funding amount, which was a considerable amount of money.
Yeah.
You take the time to really digest and think long and hard about all the feedback you have. And then at some point you publish a post that says, hey, you know what? I'm going through with this idea. And why did you decide to do that?
Well, that was a little scary because part of the deal with doing this whole venture was there may not be a place for me back at XWP for a variety of reasons. I wasn't being punished or fired or anything. It's just they pulled me out, and it was time to move on. And so I didn't get the funding. Then what? Now what? What do I do? Do I get a job? You know, what am I going to do? And Dave worked with me really hard to find some stuff for me to do within the company to keep me going until I found whatever I wanted to be doing in life. And I thought, you know what? What if we did this in text instead of video? There's no overhead cost. What's that?
I said it'd be a lot cheaper.
Yes. There's no overhead cost of doing the video stuff. Nobody has to go to the contributors. They can just send me the stuff. It's far more accessible for places in the world with low bandwidth. Text instead of video is a million times better.
It's easier to translate, too, into different languages.
Yes, it's easier to translate in different languages. There were just so many advantages to text. I didn't know I didn't think of it before. it didn't make a business. It didn't make a company. And so I emailed Dave and I said, you know what, can I just do this? Can I keep going? And I didn't hear back from him. And I emailed him again and I didn't hear back from him. And I said, you know what, I'm just going to do it. I don't own HeroPress. To this day, I don't own HeroPress. It's Dave's. He's been very generous and he's been awesome, but it isn't mine. And I just went with it anyway. And that was, what's that?
No, and that's something we've talked about, you know, off the air that's perplexed me a bit is you're putting all this work and effort into just an awesome resource for the WordPress community, yet you don't own it. It's not a business. It's not making money. There's no, based on what I've seen, there's no revenue generating software or ads on the website. So it just seems like a pretty perplexing relationship going on here with the ownership of HeroPress. Are you at all worried about that?
Not really. Dave really likes what I'm doing. If I quit, I don't know that he would find someone else to continue it. I don't know anybody else would want to do it. I like doing it. It's fun. It's not really costing him anything. I'm hosted on XWP's account, so they're covering hosting, which is cool. But it's not really costing anybody anything. Just my time to do it. So I think it'll probably just keep going until I don't want to do it anymore. And I don't really see that changing anytime soon.
So you go through with it, and we start seeing a couple of the essays that are published on the site. And I want to know, what kind of feedback did you get from people who maybe didn't really understand the idea at first, or they thought it was going to be something completely different? Did any of them come back to you, let's say, a few weeks after a couple of the essays were published on the site and say, hey, this is really cool. This is really cool idea and something great you've got going on here. Did you receive any type of feedback like that?
You know, not immediately. Nobody came back to me and said, hey, I just read the first article. I was wrong. That was awesome. But a number of people who weren't necessarily thrilled about it at the beginning have since said, hey, HeroPress is awesome. It's awesome. And that's been nice. Since we published the first essay, I've not heard one negative thing from anyone ever. People may be thinking it, I don't know. But nobody says, you know, you're doing a bad thing. So that's, you know, that's nice.
And how many different countries have been represented, at least by the people we've seen essays from? I know there's a couple.
Boy.
Yeah, America.
Yeah. I have a map on the site. Let me pull it up.
Ah, okay. Well, there you go. That would be even better then.
It's not as up to date as it should be. I haven't updated it in a little while. But we've got, let's see, Argentina, Brazil, the U.S., Canada, South Africa, India, Nepal, Afghanistan. Oh. Nope, not Afghanistan. Pakistan. Egypt, Lebanon, Greece, Bulgaria, Ukraine, the Netherlands, England.
Yeah, you know, when you look at that map and you see all those places represented with individuals that somehow, some way discovered or worked with WordPress and it somehow had a major impact on their life, when you stop and take a moment to sort of take that in and realize that all those different points of the world and WordPress is the similarity there, I mean, what do you think about that? I mean, that's a great thing to think about.
It is. It's exciting. It's weird. You know, I'm a stats nerd. People tell me all the time, don't watch the stats because it's not a good indicator of the impact you're having in the world. But I love watching the stats. I leave Google Analytics real-time stats up all the time. Just all the time. And
wow, that's a lonely man's game.
in the middle of the afternoon on a Friday, somebody from South Korea hits an essay. And I'm like, somebody in South Korea right now is reading this essay that I facilitated, that I helped get up there. And just 2 minutes later, somebody in Algeria is reading it. And then somebody in New Zealand, and then somebody in Madagascar. And I just watch them go by. And it's like, I don't know. It's weird to me. It's cool, but it definitely feels weird.
Which country has generated the most traffic for you? Is it India?
Yeah.
That you've received the most traffic from? And, you know, yep. You were telling me a cool story that you went to, I believe it was, no, WordCamp Pune, India.
Pune.
And this was Pune, and this was after. And the cool story of that, the reason you got there is it was crowdfunded by the WordPress community, so that was cool. We chipped in and helped you go there. And this is after HeroPress has been around for a little while, and there's a couple of essays there. But tell us what their reaction was to what you were doing with HeroPress.
You know, it's different from any other country. India is kind of what started HeroPress, and I would say HeroPress's biggest fans are in India. I was asked to go to India. They got a hold of me and said, would you please come speak? And that was enormously flattering. I would not have done a fundraiser to go myself just because I wanted to go to India, you know? But they asked. And I thought, well, hey, you know, if people want me to go, maybe they can help me get there, because I didn't have the money. I couldn't have gone without it. And I mentioned earlier there's the stereotype that India is cheap labor, that they're, you know, low quality, blah, blah, blah. And they're not. They're awesome. They're amazing. And anytime someone respects them and says, hey, you know what? You're great. You're as good as anybody else in the world. It's a huge thing. They love it. I gave my talk at WordCamp, and I spent the next hour and a half outside the door with people getting photos taken. Everybody wanted a picture. So one person would come up and say, hey, can I get a picture with you? Yeah, yeah. And then their buddy would go, hey, I want to get in on that. I want to get on that. Pretty soon there'd be like 15 people around me, and we'd be taking a picture. And they'd all break up, and one person would say, hey, can I get a picture now? And then 10 minutes later, there's 30 people around me.
I think that had to be incredibly humbling from your perspective to realize this idea you had that was once just an idea, and now you've got these essays that it's impacting people. They were there, and they wanted to take photos with you because they were at the essays and reading from other Indians was having a huge impact, a positive impact on their lives and for them, and they were just there thanking you for it.
Yep.
Let me address something if I can. So
yeah, go ahead.
You mentioned this a couple times that India and Indian workers, in the sense of WordPress, want the respect, right?
Yep.
But there's a difference between perception and reality in that sense. I'll give you my own perspective. I've hired a number of people from India over the years, over the last 10 years.
Sure.
And the biggest problem that I've found, and I'm not trying to stereotype, it's just a common occurrence, or it has been common in my situations, is that people from India seem to be very eager to take jobs on, even when they're not qualified. And that's the biggest gap that I see. It's just there's not honesty in terms of that accountability and some of those things that need to be done in terms of a skill set and what somebody is competent to do. And I've since moved away from India because I've just been burned too much. And I don't know if it's a cultural thing, but it just seems to me. And it was also like I would always get – it was like right after the first of the month, I'd always get bugged by every freelancer I ever worked with in India. Hey, do you have anything new? Hey, you know, it's like, oh, your rent due? What's going on? So
yeah, there is a cultural thing to say, you know what, I need this work. I will learn whatever I need to learn to get it done. And well, sometimes
that would be great. That would be great, except for the guy that goes, I can handle that. I can handle that. And then 3 days later –
sure.
It's not a pixel of work that's been completed. So are they aware of these kinds of stigmas, and are they doing anything in order to correct it beyond the highlights and spotlights that you do on it? I mean, what are they doing internally to kind of raise the culture and raise the bar?
Those are great questions. Let me go at it this way. The same as getting a contractor in the U.S. or anywhere else, I would recommend that you have a personal relationship with whomever you get to be your contractor. And it's hard to do across the ocean, but it's a little easier within the WordPress community. So if you want to hire somebody in India, find somebody who is known and respected as a quality developer. And a good place to start is with the organizers of WordCamps, WordCamp Pune, WordCamp Mumbai. Go to them and say, look, I'm looking for somebody to do this job. I need somebody quality, professional, who already knows what they're doing. Who do you recommend? Yeah. And they're going to give you somebody who is not going to lie to you about their abilities, who's not going to say, yes, I'll do whatever, you know, just because. And there's plenty. Personally, I know dozens of them. So you create that relationship, and you have some knowledge ahead of time. If you just go to some board and you hire somebody you don't know at all, you don't know anything about them. They could be diamond smugglers. You don't know. You find somebody you know and you trust, and you ask for a recommendation, and they'll give you somebody they trust. And it's the same with any other contracting, you know? That's the way I would do it here or anywhere.
And often it's difficult, especially when you're doing it in an outsource capacity, because a lot of times they don't have the verbal skills in order to talk to you. So you're relying just on Skype chat or Slack or one of those things. And it's so difficult to disseminate someone's character and their work ethic and their skill set based purely on that.
Yeah, that is hard too. And, you know, that takes some experience. Not experience. Takes a while to get to know somebody really well. And you asked if anybody in India is doing anything about this stereotype.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard for any one person or company to change the behavior of somebody else. And so what they're doing is changing their own behavior. RT Camp is an agency that I respect as much as any agency I have ever run into. Their employment practices, the way they handle their employees, the way they handle clients is amazing. It is classy, top notch. And they're an agency. If you need a WordPress agency and you want to get somebody from India, I highly recommend them. And there are several agencies like that that are active in the community, above board, honest, and they're trying to change the perception within the community with their own behavior.
That's awesome. So all these different essays that are available, do you have one in particular that's your favorite and why? Because I have one.
Yeah. I do not have a favorite. Sometimes I think I have a favorite, and then I look at the next one and think, oh, no. This has got to be it. It's like asking me what my favorite kid is, you know? They're all great. Every single one of them. I look at one and I think, oh, this is great. This is amazing. This is awesome. And then I go to the next one and think, oh, no. This one's way better. And it just, there's no way I could pick one.
The one I really enjoyed reading was by Satish Puri, and it talks about his 7-year journey where he discovered at the age of 14 that he's 80% blind, and so he did everything he could. He worked at an internet cafe, would spend 10 to 12 hours a day, and self-taught himself PHP and the internet, and came across WordPress.com, and just everything was really cool about how he developed a passion and ended up becoming a digital accessibility consultant, and he's working really hard now to make WordPress more accessible. And I just thought the whole story was awesome. I love this quote he put at the end of his post where it says, quote, there is always A hope for tomorrow. Don't look for the light at the end of the tunnel. Embrace darkness. Listen to the quietness and feel the air flow. You will know that light is ahead even before you see it, end quote. And I just thought that was just in relation to WordPress. That was pretty damn powerful.
Yeah. His first name's Raghavendra, and people call him Raga. But
well, I'm glad you said it.
I got to meet him at WordCamp Pune, and we got to talk for quite a while. And he's great. He's really fun to talk to.
So that's awesome. And Marcus, I don't know, have you been keeping up with HeroPress? Any one essay that stood out to you as just being like, wow?
Well, it's always a constant, you know, struggle on things, but I enjoy the different perspectives because it's obviously different than mine, because a lot of these guys are trying to work their way into the community any way they can. And
they all have different constructs, and you know, and they're living in different societies, you know, with the stereotypes and their environments that they live in, and you know, you sort of get a piece of that in their writing.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, I've enjoyed it. I subscribe to it. It's in my RSS reader, so I'm well aware of it. But nothing really stood out in particular. But I enjoy just the overall flavor of it, the vibe, the perspective.
So one of the cool things I wanted to, I don't know if anybody knows this or not, but Topher, HeroPress is actually getting ready to turn one, if it hasn't already. When is HeroPress's first birthday?
March 25th is the date that Rarst posted his essay.
So 2 days from now, this Friday, HeroPress will turn 1 year old.
Yep. And I have interesting things to say about stats, kind of regarding that.
Okay.
The first essay probably has 8 times more traffic on its first day than any other essay has ever had.
Hmm.
When you look at the Google Analytics thing for all time, it's just this huge, huge spike. And I'm sure it's because on the first day, people wanted to go see what it was that we did. You know, all the people who said, this is awesome, went and looked. All the people who said, oh, that's going to be garbage, went and looked to see. And it was just huge, huge, huge. And then the other thing that I find fascinating that I want to say about stats is that the views in a given week almost always come from the intended audience. So, for example, when the author is Indian, there's a huge traffic spike from India. If the author is not Indian, then there's almost no visits at all from India. When the contributor is from Australia, we had a huge spike from Australia. And what that tells me is that my goal of having people write to their peers to answer questions of the people around them is working.
Wow, that's a great it's an awesome stat because if one person telling their peers saying, "Hey, look, I did this. I went through this. Look what I can achieve," opens the door up for who knows how many other people. Maybe in a similar situation, and that was one of the main things you wanted to try and get across. I mean, that's where the hero concept comes from.
Yep. Sometimes I'm sad if a given essay gets a relative low number of hits on a given release day, but I always feel better about it if the vast majority of those hits are from that same country. Because I don't necessarily care if you, Jeff, read How to Be a Better Businessman in Central Africa, because you don't need to know. But if the majority of the readers are from Central Africa, then awesome. It's working. Even if there's only, 80 people that read it. Well, there's 80 people there that got that message, and that's awesome.
Exactly. That's you're accomplishing one of your missions. So what do we have to look forward to? You got anything planned or anything special for year number two, or have you found the secret formula that you're for Hero Press and you're just going to run with it?
Yeah. I'm not going to mess with what's working.
Okay. I was just going to say, I wonder if you're going to hint around or, experiment with video now that it's been around for a year.
I've considered it, but it wouldn't be essays. It would be interviews.
Right.
Before doing pretty much anything with Hero Press, I did a bunch of video interviews with people around the world to make sure my idea wasn't stupid. And so I have a video interview with Rarst. I have a video interview with Ahmad Awais from Pakistan, and he just did an essay a couple weeks ago. I have 5 or 6 video interviews that I think are interesting. And I think most of them are actually on the Hero Press blog, not in the essay section, but in the blog section. And I've thought about doing that just because they were interesting. They were fascinating. Something else I've considered doing, and I actually planned on doing, starting in the beginning of this year, and it hasn't happened. I was going to have a second essay per week, but it was going to be very, very practical. Most of our essays have turned out to be inspirational. WordPress helped me, and it can help you too, that kind of thing. And the guy that inspired HeroPress, the guy from Kolkata, actually said to me, "That's not useful. It's not helping me. I already know WordPress is awesome. Who do I call to get contracts? What do I say when I'm on the phone with an American who can't understand me?" And so I wanted to start doing some essays with very practical advice. Do this, don't do that.
Maybe from either the same authors or the same people in those regions helping out the same audience, the intended audience in those regions as well.
Yeah. I'd considered having some of the essay contributors that I've already had. People from India doing an essay that says, there's a stereotype that says you're going to say that you can do anything and you don't know how to do it. Don't do that. That's dumb.
Because market count said so.
That's right. So I've considered doing that. In my life, I'm already kind of at the edge of doing all I can and should without going crazy. I have a day job. I have a family. I do a little side work. I do Hero Press. That's it for the day. So I'd love to do that. I don't know if it's going to happen. We'll see.
Well, can I put my Marcus Couch marketing hat on and give you a couple suggestions for Hero Press?
You betcha.
Opportunities for improvement?
Yes, please do.
One, I would love it if you would have some sort of a newsletter function on this so that I could be delivered that into my inbox in terms of that.
Haha. I have things to say about that.
Okay. I would love to see maps of where all of these people are in the essay as well to give it some context.
I have a map with everybody's pinpoints, but would you like to see?
Yeah, that I know. That I know.
You'd like to see a map within the essay.
Yes.
And this is where you are.
Yes, that's where you're being transported to, right?
Yep.
And then third, being that these are such, oftentimes compassionate stories of personal struggle and triumph over adversity and things like that, this would make an amazing audiobook, I think, or at least podcast, where they're speaking in their own
Their own voice,
and you're hearing this in terms of, how they came about what they're doing, and it's not dissimilar to what we do and how we've come about into the WordPress community. And I think that would be just reading the essay, I think, would be very good content.
That's sure. I got to say, that's a pretty cool idea now that I think about it. Just hearing the different dialects and accents.
Right.
No, hopefully I'd be able to understand them, but it would just be great to hear it would be cool to hear the author of the essay read what it is they wrote, and maybe sure. you could be able to hear more emotion in some of the various points in the essay.
Yeah. So I have interesting feedback on all three of those points.
Great.
For the newsletter, I'm actually using Postmatic.
Ah, good.
Postmatic is very good.
On my list to do is to hook up the email thing so you can subscribe and get the essays in your email.
Good.
For the map thing, it's mostly been laziness. HeroPress on the back end is built a little differently than I would have liked. I did it. I built it, but I want to change it. Contributors are not WordPress users. They're a custom post type.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to switch that. I want to make them users again. And then I'm using CMB2 for custom fields. So then I want to drop in fields for coordinates. And then it would be a piece of cake to mm-hmm. to drop a map on there.
Yeah.
So it, you know, the only thing holding me back is time and ambition. Regarding the audio, we have had more than one blind contributor, and Amanda Rush was the first. And I asked her, would you like to have an audio version of all the essays so that you don't have to listen to your screen reader? She said, no, blind people don't care. They like the screen reader's fine. Don't worry about it. And I thought, well, you know, okay, fine. I won't do that. But you guys are the first people I've heard say that would be cool just because you'd like it, not because you need it or anything.
Well, to me, it would help me keep grounded in terms of my own skin and realize, I mean, well, I don't say grounded, but perspective, I should say that, where, sure. you know, you're a part of something that's a lot bigger than just the website that you made today. Or the website that you performed maintenance on yesterday. I mean, this is a huge yeah. community that has many working parts around the globe. So to me, I think that's valuable content.
And I think it's just really unique to be able to hear somebody tell their story in their own words with their own voice.
Yeah. Yeah. I will definitely look into it. It's one more thing to ask the contributor to do. Which, you know, I'm sure someone will be fine with it. Someone will be like, oh, man, that's a lot of work. And some, I'm sure, will be far too shy to put their voice to it, especially the ones whose English is not strong.
Right.
I've had people say that they didn't want to write an essay because their English, they didn't think their English was strong enough.
Hmm.
But, you know, it sounds like a great idea.
Well, man, I tell you, like I said, HeroPress is one of the greatest things that happened to the WordPress community. I want to thank you for you and everybody else involved that put forth the effort, to, even through the struggles of the criticism of the idea and not being able to get the money you needed for the Kickstarter. You went ahead with it anyways, and I know I'm glad you did. I've seen even the co-creator of WordPress software retweet some of the links to HeroPress. So I'm sure he appreciates it, and it's just a great resource to have in the community. And it would suck if you stop doing it. Or we stop seeing essays published on there because they're great to read every Wednesday. But I'm congrats on reaching 1 year old, and I hope you stick around for a few more years.
Thanks. Can I
and HeroPress. I mean HeroPress and you. Stick around.
Yeah, after a year I'm out, man. Can I tell you one more story?
Sure.
This would be about the HeroPress essay that never was.
All right.
There is a young man in Yemen named Nashwan. And he worked with me at XWP for about a week. and it didn't work out because he was in college. And he worked a week and said, you know what, this is killing school. I got to go back to school. So we stayed in touch and we talked. And he told me all about Yemen. And I asked him if he'd do a HeroPress essay. And he said, yeah, you know, that'd be great. You know, I got a couple of months of school left here. Let me finish that up and then I'll write for you. And I said, fine. And when school got done, I went back and I looked him up. And he wasn't responding to any communication method I had, Facebook and Skype and all of that. And that was when the war was heating up. And I tried, I don't know, about once a month for 6 or 7 months. And one day he just wrote back to me on Facebook and said, hey, what's up? And I said, you tell me what's up. You've been gone in a war zone. And he had to flee his city, and he's currently living in the hills, in a home, in a house. He's not, like, camping or anything. But he and his family are just keeping their heads down and staying out of the war as best they can. And he kept doing WordPress stuff through college. And I asked him, you know, are you working? Are you doing anything? Are you able to get anything done? And he said, not really. Their internet connection is really terrible, and he gets on once in a while and posts on Facebook, hey, I'm still alive. And I said, do you want to do an essay? And he said, I can't. I can't do an essay right now. I spend all my days staying alive. And yeah. It's been one of the most poignant... It's almost my favorite HeroPress essay. And it never happened. To know that there are people in our community, in the WordPress community, who are scrambling to stay alive because people are shooting at them. So I wanted to get his story out. I've told a few people. I've never told anybody, like, in a podcast like this.
Well, but, you have just told millions of people.
Millions. I know.
Potentially.
Man, that is... I mean, that's not awkward silence there. That's just jaw-dropping silence is what that was. Yeah, I mean, they're... Yeah, that's the reality of some people out there in our community that, you know, just the priority number one is just staying alive.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I got mad because the leaf blower guy was blowing blowing grass around the sidewalk.
Oh, man, you are such a loser.
Oh, man, that was a great story. And before we wrap it up here with you, Topher, just want to say, you know, I want to tell everybody, other listeners out there, that I've had the opportunity to meet Topher in person at a couple of different work camps along with his wife, and actually got to meet some of his extended family with his daughters at, I think it was Work Camp Virginia Beach, I believe.
Yeah, probably one of the Ohio ones.
Yeah, one of the Ohio ones. Just want to say that, you know, when I think of good people, Topher, you and your wife and your family are, you know, right up there at the top of the list. I wanted to get that out there and say you guys are, you know, you guys are really good people. You're really compassionate, and I really wish you and yours all the best and continued success with HeroPress. And pretty cool that you got this sweet gig documenting code for one of the best. From what I've heard from many people, one of the best bosses around, Pippin Williamson, with Easy Digital Downloads.
Yeah, it's a privilege. It is, and I thank you for your kind words. I appreciate it.
Not a problem, Marcus. Any final thoughts here before we let Topher go?
Well, Topher, you know, it's interesting that you call it HeroPress, and you probably won't agree with this, but I think you're one of the heroes in terms of the community and spotlighting. You know, some of the lesser known resources and community members that we have out there. So you definitely have my thanks and encouragement for what you're doing.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
So, Topher, if people want to keep in touch with you, follow your progress, how can they do that?
Personally or with HeroPress?
No, well, you know, all around. HeroPress, every Wednesday you publish a new essay.
Yep. HeroPress.com, at HeroPress on Twitter. And there's a page on Facebook that I'm learning how to use. I'm not a Facebooker. If you want to find me personally, I am Topher1 Kenobi pretty much everywhere. Every instant messenger ever. Facebook, Twitter, my blog, Topher1Kenobi.com. You can find me.
And are you attending any WordCamp or WordPress events in the near future?
Oh, I have a great story. Yes, I'm planning to go to Minneapolis and Prestige and also Chicago. But the great story is about a month ago, I had not talked to Dave Rosen in months. And he sent me an email and said, hey, I think HeroPress should go to WordCamp Europe. Here you go. Vienna. And so he sent me the money to go to WordCamp Europe. Hmm. And I'm going to chip in a little of my own and hopefully take my wife, because she has put as much into HeroPress as I have. And I would love to be able to take her to Vienna in, you know, and thanks for all that she's done in HeroPress as well.
I'm sure she would love to go to Vienna, knowing her.
Yeah. So HeroPress is going to WordCamp Europe, and I'm excited.
That is awesome. That is one of the top tier. You know, if there's a WordPress event to go to internationally, WordCamp Europe is at the top of the list.
Yep. I got to meet a lot of HeroPressers at WordCamp US, and I'm going to meet a whole lot more of them at Europe because it's easier for them to get to.
Awesome, man. So I look forward to seeing you at WordCamp Chicago, which is coming up, I think, at the end of April. So I'll see you there, and all the best to you, and good luck, man.
All right, thanks. I'll see you.
Not a problem. So that was Topher DeRozier, one of the founding members of HeroPress, and just an all-around great guy, great member to have in the WordPress community. And Marcus, I kind of like that, too. Sort of, you know, he may not agree with it, but I think we could put him in the hero classification.
Definitely. Topher, one last question for you, buddy.
Yeah?
Anybody ever made threatened villain press on you?
No.
The anti-hero?
No, but you're welcome to.
No. I got enough on my plate, believe me.
I think you would hashtag that WP drama.
Oh, jeez. So we do have a couple of news items to go through. However, I wanted to give a lot of the time we needed to Topher because I really wanted to hear the HeroPress story. So what we're going to do is next week, and these are some important news items as well, but we're going to cover them all next week because I want to spend some time especially talking about the W3 Total Cache plugin, which, you know, it's active on more than a million sites, but a lot of people have been scratching their heads wondering what's going on. They haven't received many, if any, updates. There's no news items being published. But, however, I was able to get a confirmed statement from Frederick Towns, the author of the plugin, and we'll go over that next week and let you know that what's going on. So with all that said, let's go right into the plugin picks of the week, which looks like the first one deals with media. Surprise, surprise.
Oh, man. You know, I've been just toiling over all these media problems because I've literally got thousands of images to import into a site. And oftentimes, Jeff, and I don't know if you've had this, but I get this HTTP error when I'm trying to upload sometimes, depending on what the server is or the image file or something like that.
Yeah, image file size, if it's like I've tried to upload an MP3 file through the editor, it doesn't work.
Oh, it's the worst. And, you know, I'm trying to find support on it. What can I do? What can I change? And I'm looking at Otto's post from like 7 years ago, and he's talking like, you idiots. I can't believe you're getting this error. 7 years ago, and I'm still getting this error. So, Otto, you're completely wrong on this. It's still a problem. So here's how I fixed it. Here's the thing. When I wanted to import all of these images into the media library because WordPress has these built-in functions where it creates thumbnails of various sizes that go along with it. These were like 8 meg, you know, images that were part of a media kit. There were hundreds of different images that I had to put in there in this gallery. So I found this plugin called Media from FTP, and it is by a gentleman named Katsushi Kawamori, and he's done 15 plugins in the repository. So what this does is you upload all of your things into the normal upload folder via FTP that you normally would, and then you start this plugin, and actually what it does is it scans those directories within your FTP and finds new files, new image files that aren't already indexed within the media library. And then you just check off which ones you'd like to import, and away it goes. So this was a great fix. This one completely saved my tail as far as this particular project. I was fretting for days how I was going to get around this problem, and this plugin absolutely solved it for me. So it's called Media from FTP, and we'll have a link to that in the show notes. The next one, Jeff.
Now, you know, it's interesting you use that for media, but for my media, you know, WordPress Weekly shows, I use a plugin called Add to Server, which is by Deanne Hulse, one of the core contributors for WordPress. And what that does is, so I upload the MP3 file, the show, to a folder, you know, via FTP, and then I click on the Add to Server, and I browse the file tree, and I click on the MP3 file. What it does is it sort of imports that presence of the file, or it's sort of telling the WordPress media library where it is, and then I'm sort of attaching it to the WordPress gallery so that when I it's a file that appears in the gallery, and then I can see its link, and I can add it to posts and do stuff like that. So I kind of have to – that's my way of being able to avoid the HTTP error and the upload limits that take place, because you can't just simply upload a – you can't even upload, I don't know, on most hosts, 5, 6, 7 meg MP3 file, and mine usually run between 20 and 30 megs. So that's what I use. It's called Add to Server. Great plugin.
Excellent. I'll look at that one as well. The next plugin is called WP Open Last Modified, and I think this plugin is actually misnamed, because what it does is it adds not only the original post date in terms of, you know, your metadata, but if you revise it, there's a short code that you can put in called Last Modified Date, and you can show your site viewers actually when it was last updated as well. So if you've got revisions or something like that with a post, new information, you know, new take, corrections, whatever that happens to be, this will tell you when it was last edited. So if you've got a very popular post, this is actually something you can probably do to even juice it up a little bit more within Google, is have this constantly updating date as far as when you've updated. So it is by a gentleman called Degano, and this is their very first plugin. So it's called WP Open Last Modified.
And finally, and curses to all you people out there who don't show dates on your content.
That's right. And finally, I would love to rename this plugin. It's by a gentleman called Yunz JFR. They have two plugins, and they're both WordPress database related. It's called Advanced WordPress Reset. I would love to just call this the Nuke Button, because what it actually does is, rather than having to delete a WordPress installation and then restart one all over again if you have a stage site or something that you're working with frequently, this actually resets the entire database right back to its original state when it was a fresh installation. So it takes every piece of data out of the database and resets it to new. So it's called Advanced WordPress Reset. You might also be able to use this on a client who is maybe behind in his payments. You can delete his entire data.
Jeez. Oh, man. I don't know if I should be laughing at that, but holy
shit. Yeah. And those are my plug-in picks of the week.
Awesome. Useful as always. So that's going to do it for this week's episode of WordPress Weekly. You can find show notes for this episode and all previous episodes on WPTavern.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at Jeff Rowe, JeffFR0. And Marcus?
You can find me at my website, MarcusCouch.com, on Twitter at MarcusCouch. And remember that you can also sign up to the pre-launch list to my membership coach program at MembershipCoach.com.
And did you get any additional memberships there? Because I saw some feedback on Twitter that somebody was excited to see you were doing membership stuff.
Lots. Yeah, the database, the mailing list is growing fast, and that's just an affirmation to me that everything that I'm doing for this, and the subject matter that I'm picking, and the matter that I'm going about it, is absolutely dead on in terms of a needed resource within the community. So I'm happy to do it.
Awesome. So until next week, everybody, have a safe, enjoyable rest of the week. Enjoy your weekend. Happy Easter, everybody who celebrates it. And if you don't, I don't know.
Half-price chocolate on Monday.
Yeah, half-price chocolate. There you go. So we'll talk to you again next week. Take care, everybody.